Can somebody please pimp Unix for a little while?
Is it GNU Unix?
Okay, actually, here's something. I did try. Oh wait, this isn't. I was gonna say I tried the Debian herd kernel, the Debian herd build. But actually, that's totally not relevant here.
I heard you,
Reg. You want to talk about the herd instead?
No. I mean, I always run a BSD. Right now, I have Dragonfly BSD on my laptop, the laptop I have from work. But I honestly don't. And you can download the GNU, a lot of the GNU libraries and stuff in BSD. Honestly, to be completely honest, I do like BSD. I have found that it's somewhat lagging compared to, say, the Linux community, some of the latest software and whatnot. But most everything is available, whether it be in ports or, I forget what the NetBSD
package.
Package source, sorry. Whether it's ports or package source, it can compile down, and it does have about 20 or 30,000, I think about 25,000. Anyway, I found that BSD, I always run it, I do like it, but I understand that some people may not, certain hardware I have, it doesn't run. I mean, I can't install it at all, it craps out right away. Other things that run solid as a rock. I'm just saying, in an open source community with open source software, I'm surprised it doesn't get near as much mention as it could.
I'm gonna throw a little skifter into the deck since we're all getting on fine and well tonight. I'm gonna throw a little skifter into the deck. I'm thinking of. You're saying that compiling for BSD and compiling. And I'm thinking of like Mumble. Compiling the latest Mumble in my case, I'm using Crunchbang on my netbook here. What would the situation be like if it was one format, one, so you can compile one format, one package, and you can download it, and you can install it on Slackware, you can install it on Debian, you can install it on Fedora, or any BSD. What would that be like compared to what is now, where you don't have a choice? You either wait for it appearing on the repos of your own distribution, or you compile it by source, by hand. What would that be like?
It'd be less efficient, and I don't think I would personally like it. I mean, you can already do that with certain, like some of the games off of Humble Indie Bundle, for instance. You just download like this little binary. I shouldn't say little. This huge binary, and you can just click it, and it runs on your system, and it's. I mean, it works, but I don't see the advantage in any way at all. In fact, I rather dislike it.
Java works that way. It's horrendously inefficient.
Yeah, I mean, I get the appeal, but I don't. At the end of the day, I don't want.
Yeah, funnily enough, that's how I run Thunderbird on Crunchbang. Is I just unpack it into /opt even, and run it from there, and have the menu linked up to there, and that's how I run it from there, and it works fine. I dare say it's not as efficient as it would be running from the repos, but frankly, the repos are old, and they're also, I mean, I know it's a branding thing, I know the reason behind it, but I really hate the unbranded Ice Dove and Ice Weasel. I really absolutely detest that. It just seems really petty. I understand that why, but it just seems so petty to me. But yeah, that's a side issue. I run Thunderbird quite happily from /opt.
I have some breaking news from our IRC chat room right now. Crayon has just purchased the domain name cctracker.org and is going to point that at Cobra 2's project as soon as the transaction clears.
Yay. Looks like your first donation just came in, Cobra 2. Of course, you'll probably maintain control of the domain and start, you know, insisting that you do certain things on the project.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's my plan. And once once I lull everyone into a false sense of security and everyone's using it, I'll replace it with just an ad site.
Knew it.
And then I'll change the project name.
Well, that's why Cobra 2, I asked you a while ago what the name was going to be, because I was going to grab a domain for it or whatever, and I think we were talking and you were saying that it didn't really have a name, and that you said you didn't like the name CC Tracker, or was that Thistleweb who said they didn't? But I figure since it was there, we might as well get it anyway.
Yeah, the initial plan was, we don't want to be one of the projects that are endlessly discussing names. We really did not want to do that. Unfortunately, I've had quite a few things on my mind between arranging that and initially putting that out, and then now to the point where it's kind of not really my project, if you know what I mean, anymore. I've not put as much into it as I really should. I'm glad it's still alive and I'm still involved with it, but yeah. We did want to try and come up with a better name, but that's as good as any for now. Honestly, it's as good as any.
I think it's a great name because it very clearly displays the point of the project, CC Creative Commons, and it's tracker. It's perfect.
I think it's settled. They already bought a domain name.
Yeah.
No point in arguing it now, boys.
Is Reg the name? Is that Unix Clubhouse?
Yeah.
Is that your name? I have a question for you.
I'm Reg Exorcist, but I use Unix Clubhouse because that's my domain name.
That's right. I have a question for you. Have you thought about being involved in any of the voice acting that's going on right now?
I don't know what you mean voice acting, but let me just say that I do listen to Hacker Public Radio, but I have not submitted a episode yet. But I do believe I probably will in January or February. So
well, I meant Eddie Kay or this thing of ours. Pokey was on this thing of ours. I think you have a fantastic voice. I think it'd be really cool to hear you in one of the audio dramas.
So when they're doing a James Bond sequel, a James Bond story.
Oh, man. That's great.
It is great.
Yeah,
that's
he sounds
awesome.
Like a drunk Sean Connery.
You sound just like a Scotsman.
Oh, shucks.
Only when he's drunk.
I'm going to speed him up and make him sound sober.
Unix or Reg, whatever you are. Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with you on the BSD quote-unquote lagging. And I don't know that it's fair to say that they're lagging because I don't know that that's what they're doing. They're concentrating on certain things. And I think that when someone, for instance, like me, tries to use a BSD for multimedia, that might not be exactly what they have in mind quite yet. And what I end up doing is installing a whole bunch of basically of all the Linux code anyway to get everything working on the BSD system. FreeBSD is what I was running for a while. And so I always kind of felt like, you know, I'm clearly not doing stuff that they're really, really concentrating on right now. And it just doesn't really seem to make that much sense for me to be using FreeBSD over just a normal Linux distribution. And so I kind of default back to Linux anyway. Plus, I feel like that idealistically that more aligns with my goals, like the whole GPL thing. So I kind of like to support that. But I think BSD code and the stable basis that they're creating and some of the file system advances that specifically Dragonfly BSD is making, I think all that's really cool. But I think they're very focused, I think. Would you agree or disagree?
I know exactly where you're coming from because being a Linux user, you know, right now I'm running AptoSit and Arch on my two main machines, and on my laptop I run Dragonfly. I always seem to have a BSD, and I always do run it, and I always get involved with it for like a week or two, but then I drop back, and I always seem to primarily run some version of Linux because, you know, it has the latest software. It seems to have more. It seems to recognize more the kernel-wise or whatever, but, I do like BSD. I've taken them both to work. I have two servers in work that one's running BSD and one's running Linux. You know, I think... Anyway, I do like them both, but what I don't understand, you know, I've made packages in BSD, you know, local packages. I've run ports. It's very simple. It's honestly, to tell you the truth, I believe people would be very surprised at how simple it is. It's easier to run ports than it would be to, you know, compile regular source, you know, on a Linux system. But it just seems like there's such a difference, you know, two completely different worlds. And one doesn't, I understand exactly what you're saying, because one does not seem to have the same goals or anywhere near the same goals as you know, the BSD community. And I don't think I understand the BSD community. I do run BSD. I like it. I understand how solid it is, but I think I don't understand, you know, what motivates. And to tell you the truth, running Dragonfly, Hammer is honestly one of the best file systems I've come across. I mean, I think it's better than Butter. I think it's better than ZFS. I don't understand the prints, and why BSD seems to never come up in the Linux community, even though you can compile GNU utils and stuff like that on BSD and stuff. I just don't understand why it almost seems like Windows comes up more than BSD is in the Linux community.
I know why I don't talk about it, but I can only speak for me.
You know, I remember when I first was introduced to Linux and I'm starting to look around at, I mean, you can't really look at what is Linux, because Linux is a distribution, and what is a distribution? Well, there's Ubuntu, there's Debian, there's Fedora, there's, you name it, there's thousands of distributions. I mean, even just the top 20 or top 30 or whatever. And you look at that, I mean, I remember at the time when I was still a Windows user and I was looking at what, do I go for a more traditional Unix, which was at the time FreeBSD, a more sort of official, if you want, Unix, a more authentic Unix, or Unix-based, which was Linux, and I ended up with, I think it was PC Linux OS. But the point is, I was looking at FreeBSD compared to Linux, and I don't know, something made me go the Linux route. I don't know what it was, but it's just odd that something that's more traditional Unix-based has seemingly lost out in the sort of public perception, or the free software perception, to Linux. It's just strange. I don't know what that is. I don't know why that is.
You just hit the nail right on the head. You've just said what I was going to say, in that the reason that I don't really talk about Unix a lot and don't bother with Unix a lot is because it's not free software. It's open source software. And there is, I'm going to say this is political, but not in the same sense that I was talking before as right versus left. But the two sides of the political coin is that open source software is not necessarily free software, and Unix is not free software.
Yeah, I like Unix. I like playing around with other Unixes. I like BSD. I like to play around with Solaris, Open Solaris, etc.
Yep. But it's good code.
Yeah, it's really cool, and I love the ideals
behind it. Hey, to be honest, the BSD is the only...
But you just cut out real bad, Tatsu. He didn't talk over you. You stopped.
Oh, okay. I was saying that I like the Unixes, but like Pokey says, the cause that I believe in, the greater cause, is Linux, is GNU Linux, and that's what I choose to talk about, because that's what I feel, I guess, going back to what Pipe Man said, it needs the marketing, and they are more community-based, too. I mean, Solaris, a lot of the Solaris guys, to me, seem to be more about, like, the big server farms. BSD people, they strike me as... academic/big server farms. Linux has a community. They're out there trying to promote Linux as a computing platform for the people, capital T, capital P, the people.
Yeah, I think that was why when I heard about Open Solaris, I could just be going on perception rather than reality. But what I heard, what I picked up was...
Perception that, is reality.
Yeah, fair point. But what I heard was Unix is dead. As far as people wanting to contribute to it, individual members not being paid to do it, but volunteers doing it, Unix is dead. It's extinct. It's gone the way of the dodo. People want to contribute to Unix, to Linux. And the only way that Solaris is going to get that is to open source and compete directly with that. They had no choice but to open source Solaris and make it to compete with Linux, because Linux was getting all of the mind share, all of the developer share, all of the attention share. People were talking about Linux, there's podcasts, there's blog posts, there's forums, there's sites, all about Linux. No one cares about Unix. And the Solaris, Open Solaris, was an attempt to tap into that, because they were being bled dry. I mean, no one was interested at all in their product. Even if they open sourced it, no one was interested in their product, because it was Unix rather than Linux. So I don't know, and as far as I'm aware, Open Solaris is now dead. I mean, there's some projects that came from it, but Open Solaris as such as a project is dead, as far as I'm aware.
I think essentially you're right, and I think that the selling point and the thing that really matters is exactly what the GNU people have been saying for all, and the Creative Commons people for that matter, but specifically for Software GNU. People want to share, and they want to have their contributions recognized and appreciated and used. And the traditional Unices don't really encourage that the way that Linux does. I submitted a port. Well, that's anecdotal, so it doesn't matter. Point being that Linux really, really encourages people to contribute, whereas I don't see that as much happening elsewhere.
I just want to comment on Open Indiana, where there's a group of guys there that have open sourced, you know, the Solaris kernel. They're trying to make it good. They're trying to promote as best they can, you know, on DistroWatch and everything. Bruce is still around. You know, they're really pushing, but you know what? It's not a lot of people's running it, and not a lot of people tried it. It's not their fault that people haven't tried it. This is the obscurity that I'm kind of, that's where I live. I always deal in the obscure, and I always wonder why it never, I mean, why does something become popular, and why does something else not, you know, it's not necessarily fair, and it's not necessarily, you know, right.
That doesn't make any sense.
Okay, let me jump in real quick.
You don't understand that. What I'm saying is the Open Indiana project is out there.
I understand that.
Now, we just trashed Open Solaris, saying, you know, let's forget about Unix completely.
We haven't trashed. Thistleweb is trashed.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I don't agree with
you. I mean, you said something along
dead.
That order, but yeah. Unix is dead. That's ridiculous. I mean, Unix is powerful as all can be, you know. I make my living off of it, but.
Reg, I do not agree with Thistleweb about Unix being dead. I think Unix is alive and powerful, and I don't think that Unix existing is a bad thing. But if your desires were met and Unix got all the attention that Linux is getting and Linux got none, let's just say it's 100% flip-flop. Linux gets no attention whatsoever. All of the development goes towards Unix. It becomes the best, the greatest, the most powerful operating system in the world and user-friendly, you name it. It's got everything, all the check marks are in the positive column. What happens to it then? Apple takes it, they make it their own, and they don't give it back because the license does compel them to. That's why I don't care about Unix personally, because if I'm the marketing wing for Linux as a podcaster, I'm not going to be the marketing wing for the development branch of Apple that they're going to sell and not give back.
The man speaks the truth.
That's the difference between open source.
It's the difference between a free license.
It is, exactly. And what you're saying is that GNU is not a free license and that the BSD license is. And I would agree that they are both free licenses, just each of them has a different target for that freedom.
One of them enrolls us. We are shareholders in that effort. One of them does not.
Well, what it does actually is one of them ensures that the user retains a majority of the freedom, and the other ensures that the developer maintains a majority of the freedom. And as a user, I know who I'm going to vote for, and I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is, because I have paid developers to develop free software, GNU, and when I say free, GNU free software. So that's the difference. I had this argument with a guy the other day who was talking about proprietary closed source software, and his argument sounded remarkably like yours, where it's you retain the freedom to do what you want with that code as a developer if you're using proprietary software, and you retain that exact same right if you're using open source software. If it's not free software with a capital F, what we in GNU have defined as free, if it's not that, then we the users are not guaranteed any rights. We may have them at your leisure. As a developer, it's at your leisure. But as users, we don't like that. We've been on the wrong end of that equation for way too long.
Yeah, if I can cut back in here, just in case there's any misunderstanding here, well, bear in mind I'm kind of drunk at the moment, but I mean I kind of compass mentis. Bear in mind that what I wasn't saying before was that Unix is dead and that Linux is the king basically. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is mindshare is that the Solaris project looked at what people were wanting to put in to of their own free time. And people wanted to contribute to Linux. They wanted to make packages for Linux. They wanted to update drivers for Linux. They did not want to do the same thing for Unix. They did not want to do things for the same things for Solaris because of the licensing. Now, the licensing is a huge part, as just as a few of you have just talked about, is
well,
the fact that there's guarantees.
To regular Solaris, it was open Solaris that lets people contribute at all. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean the point is that people are when they put in their free time, they want to know that it's going to be free software. They know that they want to get that guarantee in the license, in law, that some corporation like Apple isn't going to come along and say, oh, we'll have that work and we'll just turn it into something proprietary and we'll sell it and whatever and we'll change it in our own way. So not only will your version be incompatible, you won't make a bean out of it and we'll make a fortune out of it. They want to prevent that. They've seen that exploitation and they want to prevent that. The GNU license prevents that. So there's all these different contributory factors for people wanting to contribute to Linux where they do not want to contribute to Unix because of the license involved. It's not saying that it's dead. It's not saying it's irrelevant. It's just saying that that's the reality. And it, because people don't want to contribute, then the Open Solaris project, or the Solaris project, was really struggling, and Open Indiana was really struggling against what people wanted to contribute to.
I have a question, Reg. I know next to nothing about BSD other than, reading about it, the very little that I know. So what would be a compelling reason? What do you think is the BSD killer feature for a guy who honestly doesn't know?
Ports.
Ports is good, or package source. Either way.
But I don't know what any of that is.
Yeah, it's the old way. We typically download binaries, whether it be make or rmake or whatever it happens to be. I forget right now. Anyway. We can download the binaries. There's maybe 20,000 packages. They may not be as up to date as a bleeding edge like Arch or something that I'm running here or an AptoSid, but it will be as up to date as something like a Debian or whatever. It's not a lot of difference, which is my first comment as to why is it 90% Linux, at least in the communities that I seem to be listening to. 90% Linux and 10% or less BSD. It seems like it's never even mentioned, and I'm thinking maybe it should be 70-30 or 60-40 or something. That's what I initially brought up. I didn't really want to get involved with the Open Solaris thing, but I did bring up Open Indiana because this is open source now, and they are a group of guys that have taken the kernel and they've developed the packages and everything, and they're following along in the same GNU type situation or whatever. It's a minor difference in license. If you're a developer, or obviously you're coming from a user standpoint, but if you're a developer, I don't necessarily want to any change I make, I've got to I don't want to get into the exact details of the GNU license 1, 2, or 3 or whatever, but there's certain restrictions upon that license, and if I just want to take a picture and use it, or if I just want to take a piece of code and use it, yes, Apple can use it. Sure enough, that company can use it and say whatever and make changes to it, but I can use it too, and there's nobody stopping. Have you seen Pear Linux? Just ironically, I brought that up.
Right.
But Pear Linux is like an Apple clone. But you can take that code and use it however you see fit without worrying about possibly giving tribute to whoever wrote this piece of it back in whatever date and uploading back to the source and whatever. I just see that I like them both. I use them both, but I see that Linux, at least in the areas that on the internet that I seem to roam around in, it's like 90-10. And I was just wondering why it's not 70-30 or 60-40.
See, Reg, this is, maybe I'm speaking on behalf of a lot of people. Maybe I'm just talking out of my arse because I'm drunk. But when you're saying that people can take the code, I mean, if you do something under a BSD license, You create some protocol or something under a BSD license, and say Apple or anyone else can take that, then what's to stop them making that the norm, making their own proprietary changes to that and making that the norm? You can still use it. Of course you can still use it, but it won't be with those proprietary changes. So it won't be compatible with what the mainstream is. If they turn it into the mainstream, you won't be compatible. And there's no way you can be compatible without reverse engineering it. And of course, if you reverse engineer it, you're breaking the law. And there's no reason for the company, if it's Apple or whoever else, to make those changes that they made, make them available, because they don't want to make them available. They want you to buy an Apple product so that you can get that compatibility.
Well, in that case, you just don't use that product. I mean, but I think we're talking about three separate questions. There's what Pipeman Music just asked, which is what's the compelling reason to use BSD? And then the two questions that seem to be bandying about is, do we want to promote BSD, or do we do we respect BSD and think that it's good code? So yes, BSD is great code, and yes, it's a cool project, and so is Illumos and OpenIndiana and stuff like that. But no, I'm not going to spend my time promoting those as much as I do on GNU Linux, because GNU Linux is something that I know that I can invest in and that I will always see a return on.
That was a very good distillation of the subject, Latu.
Thank you. I did try. The Pipe Man, I would say that the compelling reason, in my humble opinion, would be the port system, because that means basically that you can compile software code on your computer. You get all of the different optimizations for your computer in theory, and you're compiling from source code. You're not downloading a binary and running someone else's generic compilation of that software. And then there's a certain feeling in BSD. I think it's more than a feeling, but it's staying true to the very traditional way of Unix of doing things. But then I get that same feeling and that same kind of sensibility with Slackware, where it's all shell script based and stuff like that. So I don't see the advantage personally.
Yeah, looking from the outside, and I mean, the only time I tried to install any BSD was before I first managed to install Linux. But from what I understood at the time, I could be wrong, but from what I understood at the time was, when you install the port system, the packaging system of BSD is such that you install the libraries that program needs, you install that in a separate sort of place, so that you can install conflicting things. They're not sharing libraries. So if I'm trying to install something that needs GTK3, and it says, oh well, you can't install that because you've got other programs that need this library and it's a GTK2 version, they're not compatible, so you can't install them. If BSD doesn't have that issue, because you have multiple versions, you have a different version of each library installed along with the program. So that, as far as my understanding of BSD,
That's not necessarily the case there. I know what you're referring to, and that's how PCBSD handles their packaging system. So each individual PBI, I believe it's PBI packaging, it'll download it to actually a local directory within, and then you run it from that directory. And the idea is you could have, depending on what application, it has its own directory, and it can run all kinds of different libraries or whatever. But the regular FreeBSD, unconfigured, not PCBSD, and Dragonfly, and NetBSD, and OpenBSD don't necessarily carry the same, but it can be configured to do that, but it doesn't necessarily. It's more like a Linux situation where, the library directories are the library directories, and if you conflict, there's issues and stuff. Ports is kind of the way they're moving away from. They're moving to binary packages also, but actually, when you download a BSD, a regular FreeBSD or an OpenBSD, you separately download the port system and install, I think it's user ports, or, depending on your distro or whatever. I even call it distro. It's not necessarily called distro. I'm not promoting BSD and saying this or that, because like I said, I got two Linux machines here, and to tell you the truth, I don't use the laptop that much. But I was just wondering why it was like a 90-10 as opposed to a 70-30 or a 60-40. And I got a fair answer. So, you know, that's reasonable enough. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, BSD, you know, this or that. You know, I'm a Linux user. I use Linux. I like the GNU license 1, 2, and 3. I like the BSD license. You know, I use obscure software. I'm a devil's advocate. I kind of throw the opposite out there. And that's just me. You know, it's just... And honestly, you know, I know it was mentioned earlier about, you know, an aggregate or whatever. I think people, just me, that I produce a podcast and I could care less if I have any listener, you know, which is the case.
Hey, Rich.
Yeah. But I have one or two listeners, but that's about it. And that's what I do. But yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Rich, I just want to say, as far as the contrarian thing and all that goes that you're saying, that's, I'm going to say that's kind of a cop out for you to say that, you know, you don't really care what people think of you, but I think you're a great guy, and I think most people around here do. So, you know, you don't need to come from a place like that.
Hey, I appreciate it. Well, it wasn't meant to be that way. I'm just saying, I'm just saying that's where I seem to live. I don't know why I always end up in conversation. I always end up on the counterpoint side. I don't know why. It's just
the rest of us do too, man. We go out in the world and talk to these Windows nuts and these Mac lunatics, and we're in the same boat you're in. We know what your position is.
I'm wondering, Unix, or Reg, Unix Reg House, if you've ever thought about doing your podcast as a Hacker Public Radio series instead.
Yeah, I actually did consider it, and for some reason I didn't get around to it. And I know I only have like 8 episodes now,
yeah.
But the whole philosophy was when I had the other podcast, the Damon and Penguin, I found that I was working for the podcast. I was coming up with, you know, I was coming up with software. I was coming up with ideas and stuff for the podcast, and I realized that was the wrong way. You know, at least for me, that was completely the wrong path I was going. So what I ended up doing now is I produce one maybe once a month, maybe once every couple of weeks. I don't know. You know, whatever's going on in my life, I kind of get out there and say, and I don't necessarily, you know, want to promote it or necessarily have too many listeners or anything, but I'm definitely going to, I do listen to HPR and I think that's great. And, you know, I love the rack chicken episode where you would move the chickens around in the back. Yeah. And I do. And I love the urban camping. I listen to them all and not all of them. I listen to a number of them and I will produce one. I just can't say what it'll be because, you know, in the next, in the next month or so, something will come up and you know what? I'll send one out there and that'll be it.
You know, this moving chickens around sounds a bit like a kind of poultry version of chess, where you've got grass mowing in different directions to make a grid. And you move the chickens about in particular ways, and you've got chickens with little hats on that say like rook and queen and whatever, and it's like just chess basically with chickens. But maybe that's just me.
I don't know about that. I feel, Reg, a bit like a clueless guy who walked into an argument he wasn't aware of, because I mean, I honestly just don't know much about BSD. And that it would be nice to have some Hack Republic radios that kind of explain that to me.
Agreed.
Because I really like, when you popped in, I was like, oh, this will be cool. I hear about it. But then all of a sudden there was like a back and forth exchange there that it was like, I don't know what this argument is at all. You know, it's just not really in my consciousness. And it's not, you know, I can't have an opinion on the argument because I didn't even know it existed. I would encourage you to do an HPR that would kind of help the clueless noobs like me out.
Well, I'm a clueless noob also, and I'm probably the worst representative that they could have. But you know, I'm glad to laugh a little bit and produce something in the next month. How about that?
Well, I did a show.
I would appreciate it.
I did a show either for HPR or maybe it was my own. I don't honestly remember, but I interview a guy with the OpenCSW project from OpenSolaris at the time, talking about a lot of different issues like portability, keeping code totally portable, it touched both on the other Unix out there, as well as the issue of keeping the code for the different Unixes and Unix-like systems similar and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's stuff out there a little bit, but I think that, yeah, the mindshare, at least among this community as it is right now, is heavily leaning toward Linux.
Yeah, that was my point. That's exactly what I was saying. Not that I disagreed with it, but that I understand that it seems to be a 90-10, and I was wondering why.
I almost think that there's, even though it's not the same, but it's similar. It's kind of like sitting down and asking, why aren't there more women in the podcasting community? You know, it's just like,
exactly.
It's why, like, well, where are they, and what can we do about it anyway? I feel the same way about like BSD and stuff like that. It's like, where are those people? But what?
I think where's the BSD women?
I'm not even going to touch that one with a barge pole. No, I think with the BSD thing,
I don't want open women. I want free women.
I think when it comes to the BSD and the Linux thing, I think there's a lot of people who, once they understand the language, the licenses, not the languages, licenses involved, they don't want to give something up that could and is used and manipulated by major corporations for no, when they don't give back, like Apple, when they don't give back. They would rather give their attention, their time, their work, their effort, their brain share, their knowledge to something that is guaranteed to be available, if you know what I mean, rather than that's protected from exploitation, if you know what I mean.
Thistle, you're talking a lot slower than last time I was on here.
You noticed that, Delta Ray.
Yeah, that could be the drink. That could be the fact that I've nipped out and came back in again. I'll try and come back again.
So, because I'm not sure, I know usually we save thanks for the end of the show, but people keep jumping in and out, and I don't want to miss the opportunity, and I just want to call out Kevin Wisher as the guy behind this show. He is the unsung hero here. He put together a Mumble how-to PDF on the fly, and it's been posted up to HPR all day, and people have been using that, and he has pretty much solely manned the test room. He's hopped out to make sure people's Mumble was working before they hopped in here, and Kevin, just in case you're not here till the end, man, I want to thank you for being the guy who the engine behind the machine that is this 12-hour long show.
Here, here, Kevin. Cheers.
Kevin, your Mumble's not working.
It's working now. Just, you know, this is my little way to get back to the community. I help out when I can.
I think that's the mentality that we all have, and I just want to make sure that you know that we notice it, and that everybody knows you've done as much, if not more, of it than everybody else here today.
I think next year I'm going to set up a soundboard so that I can have applause and laughter.
Oh, that would be
and
so
all the
cool
things that we miss on the mute.
Please.
And I'll make it its own little Mumble guy, and we'll just have the soundboard.
Make sure you have cricket chirping too.
Yeah, for me.
Perfect. Perfect. Requests can be sent to Hacker Public Radio.
I want some UFO flybys.
Yeah. So, Kevin, I'm kind of curious. Are you doing any kind of multicast or anything on this?
No, not me, no.
That would be a question more directed, I think, for either Pipe Man or Pokey, Delta Ray. They're the people actually recording and setting up server things and streaming things.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I think we have an Icecast server. My Icecast server is being fed to three other mirrors.
Yeah, I think that's correct. And then everybody's streaming from those other mirrors so that your bandwidth, your Icecast bandwidth, is minimized. And the other three mirrors that are up are pretty fat pipes, so they can handle the load. But the thing that Delta Ray's question to Kevin made me wonder was, I thought he was asking him if Kevin was streaming the show and listening to it. And I think he's just actually stepping out of the room and missing the show. And that's, you know, that's why I wanted to make sure I said it.
I don't know if he's really missing all that much, though.
No, he's missing
I'm
this
kidding, I'm kidding. Okay.
Most of it was me talking, so no big deal.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.